Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's The Fan Early Morning Show. It's a wake-up show. The wake-up show presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber. You can apply online at 84lumber.com. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. It's The Fan Early Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, setting the foundation for your sports day, and not only that, your sports week as well. It's a Monday. Steelers training camp in full effect. The Pittsburgh Pirates won two games over the weekend, and they've won two consecutive series against a pair of teams that have spent a boatload of money to be good. And one of those teams was not the New York Mets, but I want to talk about the Mets today. The Los Angeles Angels a little bit, as well as the trade deadline approaches. The Angels went from potential sellers to buyers. They just acquired CJ Cronin, another guy's name is escaping my mind right now, but they acquired a couple of veterans to bolster the team. They made a trade with the Rockies. CJ Cronin used to play for them, so that'll be interesting to watch there. But the Philadelphia Phillies, a team that, you know, invested in Bryce Harper, was once the biggest free agent signing in Major League Baseball history. Trey Turner in the $300 million range on their team. All their big names, Zach Wheeler, starting pitcher Aaron Nola. All these guys, all these big guys. And the Philadelphia Phillies are 56-49, 12 games back of the first place Atlanta Braves. Now, the Phillies are still in wild card contention, so they're not as bad. But when you're spending all that money, you usually expect the team to do better. And we've seen that in Major League history. And I mean, I talk about this regularly, but I think it's so important to note that just spending money all the time is not the answer in Major League Baseball. You have to spend money at the right time, and you have to invest wisely. And on top of that, you need to have good development in the minors, a good prospect farm in the minors. And if you don't, you're going to struggle. The Phillies, Mets, they and the Padres, they just have thrown money around recently. They've forked over a lot of money. And as a result, they're still just kind of mediocre. The Atlanta Braves have consistently developed talent, and they've made signings at the right time. They've made trades at the right time. And they're doing well now. They have the best record in the National League. The Dodgers, believe it or not, they spend a lot of money, but they also develop talent like crazy. So you might see them as an exception to the rule, which is fine. I mean, they've been consistently good. But the Padres, 52-54, 8 games back of the National League West. The New York Mets, 50-55, 18 games back of the National League East. So I guess that's a question I want to pose as well, because I think it's a question to address when you talk about baseball and where teams are, how teams operate. Would you rather be a team like the Padres or the Mets or the Phillies, where you spend a lot of money and you have a couple years where you have a window, but for the most part you struggle? Or would you rather be the Pirates, where, okay, you know, haven't had recent success, but they've got exciting players on the way that they're developing? I mean, which team would you rather have? I think it's interesting, too, that the Pirates are able to beat these teams with all these with the big money spenders, especially this year. I mean, not that they would have done that consistently in years past. They have had a consecutive years where they've lost over or at least 100 games in those seasons. So, but now they're winning games against teams that are spending a lot of money. And I find that interesting. So if you want to call and you want to talk about it this morning, we can. 412-928-9370 is my phone number. That's 412-928-9370. You can also tweet at me or exit me. I don't know what they're calling that right now. But go to what was Twitter, and my handle is at callus_33. That's callus_33 if you have some comments to make about anything I talk about this morning, or you want to bring up a topic yourself, you're welcome to. And again, you can give me a call one more time, 412-928-9370. So the Pirates winning games. The Pirates have now won two consecutive series, so that's something to look at. They've won 6 of the last 10, so something to look at. They're back ahead of the Cardinals, who just sold 3 of their biggest pitchers ahead of the trade deadline, which finishes up tomorrow, I believe, at 6 Eastern time. So a little over a day for teams to make trades. It's not like the old days either. I think with the new CBA that they signed, or the new league rules that they have in place, that once the trade deadline passes, there's no waiver trades. Everything is completed. From that point forward, there's no trades to be made between teams. Which is interesting as well, because if you remember back on that 2013 team, two of the biggest acquisitions the Pirates made were, I think, after the trade deadline, when they got Marlon Byrd and Justin Morneau. So, all interesting. But I kind of like the way it is now, the trade deadline, where it's just you get the hard date and nothing more. So get it all out now. But anyway, the Cardinals traded Jordan Hicks to the Toronto Blue Jays. Remember, he's the one that was touted for having the 98-mile-per-hour sinker on top of a fastball that was thrown over 100 miles an hour. So the Cardinals no longer have him. He's now under contract with the Toronto Blue Jays. So the Cardinals getting prospects back for Hicks, who throws hard, was effective. He did have some injuries that plagued his career, so he was kind of a wild card, and so trading him seemed like it made sense. Then they dealt off Jordan Montgomery, who they acquired from the Yankees a few years back, and then Chris Stratton, who was a former Pittsburgh Pirate before he was sent to St. Louis. So they trade Stratton and Montgomery to the Texas Rangers, who are a favorite right now to make a deep playoff run. And they go to the Rangers for a haul of prospects. So the Cardinals are sellers at this point. The Cardinals seem to have resigned from this season. They're trying to maximize value from their players, and they've proven that with two big deals for 3 of their most notable pitchers. The Rangers right now 60-46. One of 4 teams with 60 wins right now at this point in the Major League Baseball season. And they lead the American League West, seemingly ready to take that away from the Houston Astros, who have won it for I don't even know how many consecutive years now. But it'd be nice to see a new winner in the American League West. But don't sleep on the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim either. They have proclaimed not to sell Shohei Ohtani. And right now, the Angels are 5 games out of the AL West. They're 55-51. So it'll be interesting to watch them as well. And something has me feeling a bit eerie, or not eerie necessarily, but I have some optimism for them. It just seems like that's one of those storylines in baseball where if you were writing a script, you'd start them out, okay, the Angels kind of mediocre, and they've got 2 of the best players in Major League Baseball, and one of those players has an expiring contract coming up. So do we trade him? You know, we're not that good. And then all of a sudden, the team makes a push, and then they're like, no, we're going to keep that star player, and we're actually going to add to try to maximize the value of players we acquire. We're not gonna sell off big names for prospects. No, we're in on this. And now all of a sudden they're in the race at 55-51, and they're just 5 games back of a division title. And they're definitely in the playoff hunt, especially for a wild card spot. So interesting there. All interesting. So if I had to bet right now, I might say that the Angels are a favorite to at least make it to the World Series. So just because of the storyline right now, like that's just one of those headlines that you see and, you know, you look at it now and maybe you think, yeah, no, yeah, the Angels are keeping Ohtani. That's dumb, that's a mistake, and then all of a sudden maybe they come back and they do well, and then you're scratching your head like, oh wow, that's a great story. And it might turn out to be, and I have a feeling that it might. But more specifically to the Pittsburgh Pirates, again, you can call 412-928-9370. You can talk to me this morning. Starting the week out with the Pirates. Well, they took 2 of 3 from the Phillies over the weekend, so starting the weekend out with a smile a bit this weekend because of that, and the Pirates have won 2 consecutive series. But here's a big topic of interest. This is something that got Twitter, or the X, scratching its head over the weekend. Christopher Sanchez for the Philadelphia Phillies pitched 5 innings yesterday and did not give up a hit. And Rob Thompson, the manager, took him out after 5 complete innings. He had struck out 3, walked 2, and he gave up no hits. No runs, no hits. So walks got him a little bit, but he only walked 2 batters in his outing, and they took him out. Rob Thompson made the decision to take out Christopher Sanchez, bring in Sir Anthony Dominguez, and then Dominguez proceeded to give up a couple of runs. Now, the Phillies... I'd give the Pirates, you know, more credit for winning, and they deserve some credit for winning that game yesterday. But the Phillies are just making decisions out there that are just crazy. I mean, Bryce Harper twice in the same series got thrown out by Henry Davis. Henry Davis has an arm out in right field, and it's going to be exciting to see what he might be able to do at catcher with an arm like that, and we'll talk about that. Ben Jerrington made some interesting comments that I'd like to address later on in the show, but Bryce Harper getting thrown out 2 times, and the second time actually wasn't even Harper's fault. It was in the 10th inning, and the Phillies had runners on 2nd and 3rd with nobody out. Fly ball to right field. Davis catches it. Harper, like hard, like aggressively goes toward home plate and stops. I think he just wanted to bait a throw, but the runner on 2nd kept coming toward 3rd, and now there's a rundown because there's 2 runners going for 3rd base, and Harper just decided to commit to the plate. He got thrown out, and then the runner went back to 2nd. The other guy went back to 2nd base, didn't even get to 3rd. And then the Pirates ended up getting the 3rd out, no runs scored in the 10th inning. They went on to the bottom of the 10th, and Josh Palacios hit that walk-off home run. Again, first Pirate in franchise history, the first rookie to hit a home run on his birthday. So a happy birthday to him. I think it was Shelton's birthday as well, Derek Shelton. So I was celebrating all around for Palacios getting a walk-off home run on his birthday to secure a series victory against the Phillies. But they made so many mistakes. There were some errors that got the Pirates into some innings and, you know, yielded some runs, which was, you know, it's just interesting. Again, when you got a team out there that's spending so much money on players and on talent, and those players just don't perform that well. I mean, they struggled so much. And on top of it all, you got Christopher Sanchez out there for the Phillies throwing a no-hitter, and you take him out. And then the bullpen proceeds to give up more runs. So I just think that's interesting. And I want to know what you think out there as well, because I understand the philosophy that many teams, I understand the approach that many teams take nowadays where they want to be safe with pitchers, and it's harder for pitchers to throw now. I guess it's just a different game, so pitchers are throwing more pitches earlier in games, and it's causing them to get taken out sooner. And, yeah, if you would have seen a game, you know, in earlier years, like Bob Walk said, if this were the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and you had a pitcher get taken out after he was throwing a no-hitter, there would be frustration, you know, amongst fans who watch that game, and they would think it's crazy. Now it's not all that crazy. We see it more often than it definitely used to be seen back then. I got a caller at 412-928-9370. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Ross from 84.
All right, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the first topic you brought up about the teams that spend money and how the Pirates are.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So the big thing that I see is baseball is never going to have a salary cap. We're the Major League Baseball is the only sport that does not have a salary cap, and the owners are making way too much money, so I don't see that ever being instituted.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing would be if they put in a salary minimum. The Pirates are always not seriously salary at the deadline because it never ended. We always seem like we're a farm team for everybody else. What do you think?
Well, thanks for the call, Ross. I appreciate it. It really does seem like that. I don't think that that's their intention. I know over the years, it seemed like that. I know as well. Now, I was born into the Pirates' 20 consecutive losing season. If you want to call it a feat, it's not exactly an accomplishment. Not something you want to celebrate. But I was born into that. So I didn't see the winning that happened in the early 90s. I didn't get to see all those players that came through that everybody was disappointed to lose. I didn't watch Barry Bonds go to the Giants. I mean, I was born into just what seemed like a negative culture around the team. And I never really fully grasped myself how the Pirates were managing the team and like selling off to teams consistently. Because by the time I was able to comprehend the nature of baseball and how playoffs worked and how teams managed each other, or how teams managed themselves, and the Pirates in particular, by the time I realized that, they were winning, and they were putting together winning teams. So I have a unique perspective on it. I don't think their intention, especially now, is to be a farm system for other teams. I really think that Ben Gerrington and Bob Nutting as you know, owner and general manager, I think that they have the best intentions. I think that they are trying to put together a culture of winning. I just think that they've gotten rotten luck this year in some cases with some injuries and some other things that have just not gone their way. And they've shown signs of talent. They've shown signs of good baseball. It's just it hasn't been done consistently. And I shared a tweet out there as well that when two things are going right for the Pirates, one thing's going wrong. If they're not scoring runs, their pitching's, you know, giving up too many. If the run support's there, the bullpen doesn't hold up. Like just those things. And if all the elements can't come together, it seems like it's tough. They're doing good things. They're just not doing good things in multiple aspects of their game right now, and that's caused them to lose. Got another caller at 412-928-9370. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yes, Callis. This here's Earl from Canonsburg.
Hello again, sir.
Got a couple points.
Okay.
Yesterday, especially after getting rid of Carlos, was truly a good day for the Pittsburgh Pirates fans. I mean, I was down the watering hole, and everybody was disgruntled. And, boy, I tell you what, they pulled that game out yesterday, and it really pumped us up.
Yeah.
And another couple points.
Okay.
You were talking about taking pitchers out.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever heard of it, but back in the early 60s, maybe it was 59 even, we had a pitcher, Harvey Haddix, went 12 perfect innings, perfect, and lost the game.
Yeah, I've heard stories like that, Earl. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you. I've heard stories like that where pitchers have thrown perfect games and still lost, or, you know, have gone into extra innings of games and have not, you know, given up any hits. And now you got a guy who pitched five innings and didn't give up a hit, but ended up getting taken out of the game. I think it's a different game, though. I mean, there are so many rules that have changed. The strike zone was a lot bigger back in the 60s. I think it's a defendable point to take him out. I don't know if I would have. I don't know what the circumstances were either. Sanchez could have taken himself out. I haven't looked into the explanation from that. I didn't look at Rob Thompson's press conference or Christopher Sanchez talking about getting taken out early. But I think it's defendable. I think there's an explanation for it. I just know that many of us get upset when that kind of thing happens. Or in this case, we had to laugh at the Phillies because they're the ones that goofed. They're the ones that made the mistake, and the Pirates capitalized on the starter getting taken out and the shaky bullpen giving up runs. And then they're all talking about the atmosphere of PNC Park and the atmosphere around Pirates baseball over the weekend because the Pirates took 2 of 3 from the Phillies, so that's good. And Aaron on Twitter tweets at me a similar sentiment. Man, seeing the atmosphere here this whole weekend makes me want meaningful baseball so dang bad. I wish we were on the same pace as the Orioles, who started the rebuild a year earlier than the Pirates. Which, hey, fair point. They're all fair questions. Can't do anything about it, though, right now. We have no choice but to trust the process if we want to see winning baseball, because it seems like the Pirates have a process. Ben Cherington tells us he has a plan, and we really have no choice right now but to trust that plan and get excited about Paul Skeens as a number one overall guy. Hope Termar Johnson continues to develop, another first-round pick of the Pirates, and just hope that this prospect pool of players for the Pirates stays consistent. Andy Rodriguez has been exciting. Josh Palacios has filled in nicely down from the minor leagues. So there's so many bright spots to look at. And Aaron, Earl, I agree with you both. It is great when the Pirates are winning and the atmosphere around Pittsburgh just seems to brighten up so much because we want winning baseball here. And I understand that all. So I'm happy that you both got to enjoy this weekend's festivities with the Pirates beating the Phillies in 2 of 3 games and the Pirates winning, what's the math on that now, 4 of their last 6. Took 2 of 3 from the Padres, took 2 of 3 from the Phillies. We'll continue to talk baseball. I got a point about Austin Hedges as well. Ben Cherington said something on his radio show yesterday that may clue us into what's going to happen to Mr. Hedges. And will we ever hear Between the Hedges ever again on the Fan Morning Show? We'll talk about that. Coming up next, it's the Fan Early Morning Show. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis, and it's Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's Nicholas Harry Callis, and it's the Fan Early Morning Show. We got another caller, Ken, calling from Allison Park, wants to talk. Go ahead, Ken, what's up?
Morning, Nicholas. I wanted to clarify something you didn't seem sure on. That pitcher, I heard the report yesterday, he had a stomach ache or something, so that's why they took him out. I don't know how bad it was, but.
Well, then that makes it more excusable then, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to clarify. You're doing a great job, and keep good work up.
Ken, you're the man. I appreciate you. Thanks for the call. Yeah, okay. So if he had a stomach ache, then that's clearly excusable. I didn't get to see too many other press conferences, though, from the other teams yesterday. We've just been focusing on the Pirates stuff, specifically because, I don't know if you heard, but there was a meltdown this weekend. We just lost power briefly, and our servers went down. So I was more focused on getting Pirates stuff than, all the Philly stuff and whatever. And when you're a producer after a power outage and you're running around trying to, put everything back together, as best you can on our audio boards and stuff. Yeah, it was rough. But I appreciate Ken clarifying, and I appreciate you guys when you call in and share information like that and continue to do so. Tweet at me at Callis_33. That's Callis_33. And call 412-928-9370. Got a few more minutes left to talk about the Pirates. There's some Steelers information out there as well. Now some news that broke over the weekend. Quan Alexander played for the Jets last season, now a part of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Apparently Tomlin likes to pick up players that have done well against him in the past. And Quan Alexander, great defensive player, did well against the Steelers. I think it was what they played in week 4 against the Steelers, week 3 or 4. My mind is slipping on that information. But either way, they played the Jets, and Quan Alexander was good for the Jets last season. And so now the Steelers have him. There you go. More of a bolstered defense with him. So that's the big Steelers news that is going to be discussed later on the Fan Morning Show with just Adam Crowley this morning. Just him. But right now, talking about the Pirates and the big piece of information. Now, Ben Cherington gave us a subtle hint because he talked about Henry Davis, and we don't have the audio to play for you, and I'm sorry about that, but again, those servers went down over the weekend, and we didn't get to hear Ben Charrington's show get recorded. But at any rate, he talked about, Charrington did, he talked about Henry Davis getting more reps at the catching position, and specifically when the trade deadline is passed, we should expect to see Henry Davis get more reps at the catching position. And so you hear that, and you think, oh, cool, but what about Andy Rodriguez? You know, isn't Andy Rodriguez doing well? Don't you want to see Andy Rodriguez continue to be in the lineup? You're right, he's exciting. He seems to be playing well. He's adjusting to the major leagues nicely. And then the light bulb might go off in your head, because that's where it came off for me. Wait a second. If Henry Davis is catching, that doesn't mean that Andy Rodriguez has to stop catching on the regular. And as a matter of fact, what's going to happen to Austin Hedges? And then you realize, ooh, wait a second. We're putting the we're connecting the dots, putting the pieces of the puzzle together. If Rodriguez and Davis are catching regularly, they're not going to send Austin Hedges to the minors, right? He's too much of a veteran to be in the minor leagues. Maybe he's going to get traded as the deadline approaches. And then after the trade deadline, as Charrington put it, Davis will get more reps at catcher. Maybe the Pirates are anticipating unclogging the catching position, reducing the amount of players that can play the position because they want to move Austin Hedges. So again, that's my speculation. When I hear that answer, I think, okay, maybe they are going to consider moving Hedges. The only other alternative that I can see, the likely alternative that I can see, is that they start playing Andy Rodriguez more at first base on days Henry Davis catches, to keep him in the lineup, and then, you know, give G-Man Choi some rest, and then Hedges will continue to be the Sunday catcher for the team. And as a matter of fact, too, Austin Hedges started on Sunday, and then they brought Andy Rodriguez into the game after they were losing. So Shelton seems to be kind of self-aware now of Austin Hedges' detriment to the lineup with his bat, at least. He's fine defensively. He's made some mistakes as well, though, that have been, you know, heavily pointed out by many of you and us here for certain on the Fan Morning Show. But at the same time, yeah, Shelton seemed aware that Hedges can't hit very well. So late in the game, he put Andy Rodriguez in, and there you go. The Pirates end up winning yesterday's game in the 10th inning. So it'll certainly be interesting to see, and, you know, Hedges not the future, and we all understand that, and it seems now the Pirates might be doing something about it. But when I hear Ben Charrington say, expect Henry Davis to catch more after the deadline, that tells me that they might be eliminating one of these catchers from the roster to put him in, and it should not be Andy Rodriguez, because Rodriguez is playing well. They very well might move Hedges, and if not, they might scramble the defensive positioning up a little bit, keep Hedges in there as a Sunday catcher, but then routinely alternate between Davis and Hedges, keep Davis in the outfield a little bit, put Rodriguez at first base a little bit. But I think that would be too convoluted. I think the simple solution here, the right answer here, is you trade Hedges, and I think that's what they intend to do if they're talking about Henry Davis getting more reps at catcher. Trade Hedges, get back some value, and move forward with players who are exciting and who are supposed to be the future of this franchise. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This has been the Fan Early Morning Show. Real quick, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer's here. Come check out Trailblazer, Equinox, and the all-new redesigned 2024 Trax. And you can check them out online at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 80, low of 60, and it's going to be clear all throughout the day.